Will you pray with me? God, open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Amen. The verses that we have just read tell us about Esther, who was a young Jewish woman from Persia, raised by her cousin Mordecai. Esther became queen after King Xerxes of Persia ordered a search throughout his empire for beautiful young women to replace Queen Vashti, who had been dismissed from her position. Esther became queen through circumstances that left her vulnerable rather than powerful. She was an orphan Jewish girl taken by force into the Persian king's harem, chosen largely for her beauty, not her authority or background. While she held the title of queen, her actual power was limited, her safety depending on a despotic king's favor, and any misstep could cost her life. Let's see what's happening in the story. King Xerxes promotes Haman, his trusted official, to the highest position and commands that all royal servants bow to Haman. Mordecai, a Jew, refuses to bow due to his faith, leading Haman to become enraged not only at Mordecai, but at all Jews. Haman decides to destroy all Jews in the empire, casting a lot to determine the day for their destruction, which is set for the 13th day of the 12th month according to the Jewish calendar. He gains the king's permission to carry out his plan by manipulating the king and accusing the Jews of having different laws and being disloyal to the king. King Xerxes, unaware of Haman's ulterior motives towards the Jews and Esther's Jewish identity, gives Haman his signet ring to authorize the decree, which is then sent throughout the kingdom. The city of Susa falls into confusion and distress as the decree is published, starting a terrible crisis for the Jewish people. Esther learned that a decree had gone out to destroy her people. Mordecai sent word to her, urging her to go before the king and plead for mercy. Esther responds with the stark reality of her situation and said, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone, may that person live. I myself have not been called to come into the king for 30 days. Mordecai answers her words with a challenge that echoes through the centuries. "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows, perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Mordecai's concern for the Jewish people shows his compassion for the Jewish people. So instead of accepting defeat, he shows courage and tries to convince Esther. He has faith that deliverance will come anyway, and that shows his faith in God. Esther then speaks that courageous line, one of the most powerful confessions of faith in all of Scripture. "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Through this story, we see how God calls us to live with courage, faith, and compassion when God calls us into moments of decision. The first virtue we see in the story is courage, and courage is stepping into the risk. Courage is not the absence of fear, but is a conscious choice to act in spite of fear. Esther was afraid. She names her fear honestly. "If I go to the king uninvited, I risk my life." That fear was not imaginary, it was real. History tells us Persian kings were absolute rulers. One move at the wrong time, one word at the wrong moment, and even the queen could be executed. Esther had every rational reason to stay quiet, to protect herself. But courage rises when the greater cause outweighs personal safety. Courage says there is something bigger than me, something worth risking everything for. For Esther, it was the safety and survival of her people. The second virtue we see in the story is faith, and faith is trusting in God's plan. Notice something profound. Esther does not just rush into action. She says, go gather all the Jews, fast for me. I will go to the king even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. The words, if I perish, I perish, a statement of both resignation and determination. Perhaps she did come to royalty for a time like this. A death threat hangs over everything. She accepts Mordecai's argument. She will go to the king, reminding herself what she is doing is against the law. True courage is rooted in dependence on God. And this is where faith enters. Faith looks at a hopeless situation and says, I trust the God who is bigger than this. I trust that he can deliver. Mordecai spoke it clearly. If you remain silent, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. That's faith talking. Mordecai didn't know how God would do it, but he knew God is faithful to his covenant people. God will act. Isaiah 41:10 tells us, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Faith does not always know the outcome, but it knows the character of God. The third virtue we see in the story is compassion, and compassion is living for others. Esther could have hidden behind the palace walls. She could have said, this is not my problem. But love for her people moved her to act, even at risk to herself. Compassion is what turns courage and faith outward into service. Esther's heart broke for her people, and that compassion gave her the strength to risk. And we see in chapter 7, at the end of the story, that King granted Esther's request, and she saved her people. We experience these virtues of courage, faith, and compassion in different capacities in our lives. I grew up in Pakistan, and the era from 2007 to 2017 was a violent period in Pakistan. Due to the conflict between Islamist militants and the Pakistani state, militants targeted Pakistani security forces, launching attacks against state institutions, civilians, and minorities to establish control and impose their version of Sharia law and jihad. It was a traumatic time. Every day, families would leave the house for school, college, and work with the hope of coming back home safely. Courage, faith, and compassion were a constant driving force to survive in that period. On March 15, 2015, two attackers went to attack two churches with bombings in a Christian town Sunday morning, almost around benediction time. A couple of youth were volunteering in security outside a Catholic church, so when the attacker tried to enter the church premises, the youth stopped the attackers from going into the church and lost their lives, but saved the lives of 200 people inside the church. Simultaneously, an adult and his wife outside a protested church stopped the attacker and lost their lives and saved the lives of 250 people worshiping inside the church. It was truly a sad incident, but clearly depicts the interrelated work of courage, faith, and compassion in those who gave their lives for their church community. After this incident, the community was sad, but also wondering if the churches will open the following Sunday, because fear was still in the air. But people showed up in the churches more than the regular attendance. The virtues of compassion, courage, and faith in the story of Esther reminds me of Dr. Martin Luther King. He knew the risk in leading the civil rights movement. He received death threats, his home was bombed, he was jailed repeatedly, and yet his courage did not fade. He once said, "If a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he is not fit to live." That was not abstract philosophy, but lived reality. Courage made him preach, march, organize, and stand for justice, even though he knew it could cost him his life. And it ultimately did. Dr. King had that same faith in the darkest nights when churches were bombed and children were killed. He preached, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. That was not just optimism. It was deep faith that God was at work in history. Faith gave him the strength to stand on the steps of Lincoln Memorial and declare a dream, not because he thought America was there, but because he trusted that God was calling his people forward. Dr. King often spoke of the beloved community, a vision of society where justice and love embrace, where people live not for themselves, but for one another. In his famous sermon on the Good Samaritan, he said, "The question we must ask is not if I stop to help this person, what will happen to me, but rather, if I do not stop to help, what will happen to them?" That is compassion. This morning, where is God calling us to step out with courage? Maybe it's standing up for truth in your workplace. Maybe it's having a hard conversation with your family. Maybe it is choosing integrity when compromises are easier. Esther's story reminds us there are moments where God places us right where we are, not for comfort, but for courage. Is there a place where God is asking you to trust him, even when you cannot see the end? Maybe with your health, maybe in your calling. Who is God calling you to have compassion for in such a time as this? Is it your neighbor, the marginalized, the lonely, or the immigrants? Compassion is what makes our faith practical. It is one thing to say, "I trust God." It is another thing to let trust move you to care for the vulnerable, to love your neighbor, to speak on behalf of those with no voice. We see many events in the Bible that talk about injustices, but also we notice there have been people like Esther, like Dr. King, who raised their voices to speak the truth and stand against those injustices. In a world where injustice is still real and is still present, so we as people of God are also called to raise our voice when needed. Candy Queen in her commentary wrote, "For a time like this, whether the moment is one of national crisis or real life drama on a smaller scale, that demands human action. Someone has to take a stand." The Bible is clear that God demands justice. Micah 6:8 says, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice?" Justice is an action, a human action that God requires of a just people. Whether or not God is clearly present, the demand remains. God's people are required to do justice. Jesus Christ models courage, faith, and compassion profoundly through his life, teachings, and actions. He demonstrates courage by standing up to opposition and embracing suffering for a higher purpose. Faith through his unwavering trust and obedience to God the Father, even in the face of trial. And compassion by actively caring for the marginalized, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and ultimately sacrificing himself for humanity's salvation. In the book of Esther, God's name is not mentioned directly, but God is very much present in the story. God is at work when Mordecai cries out for his people. God is at work when Esther chooses to go to King's palace. God is at work when King heard Esther. God is at work when the youth stopped the attacker from going into the church. God is at work when Dr. King stood up for justice. In the same way, God is at work in our lives. What about our such a time as this, in our homes, our workplaces, our communities? God is still asking, who will rise, who will speak, who will act in faith?